We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Drew Johnson. You can find both of us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Dalton_Trigg and at CoachDrew33. DJ, the Mavs, the cardiac Mavs. They, they gave us one to remember today. This was the first game that I've attended in Dallas since December 27th when the Mavs had that big lead against the Cavs. They blew it going into the fourth quarter of that game, and they ended up losing. Well, this game, I couldn't have picked a better one to go to. they were playing the defending champion Denver Nuggets. They had lost both matchups to the Nuggets. The two times they played them earlier this season, but this was the first game they played the Nuggets since making the two big trades for Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington. Mm-hmm. And they ended up winning. Now, how they got to that point, you know, they had a size, they had like an 8 or 9 point fourth quarter lead. I think it actually got up to 11 at one point in that fourth quarter. And the Nuggets stormed back. Jamal Murray hit a big three to put the Nuggets up 105-102 with less than 30 seconds remaining. Luka hit a huge three to tie the game. Jamal Murray went down, attempted a game-winning shot for the Nuggets. He missed. The Mavs called a timeout with 2.8 seconds remaining. And then Kyrie Irving magic happened. they inbound the ball to Kyrie Irving. He ends up driving past Jokic. He engineers his own type of float. It was like a floater, but it was like a hook shot. I don't know what you'd call it, but he did it with his left hand too. It was just unbelievable. And in a second here, I'm hoping I'm going to have this this video uploaded to where, you know, we're gonna run that before we end this episode too. But just an incredible game winner for Kyrie Irving to put the Mavs 10 games over 500 again. The Phoenix Suns lost to the Bucks, even though Giannis wasn't playing today, so that helps the Mavs out a lot. And they're right on the, you know, the heels of the Sacramento Kings, and they control their own destiny there because they have two games coming up against the Kings here in the next week or so. So, all in all, great stuff for the Mavs. You know what I'm most impressed about from this game, DJ? I'm looking at the overall percentages. The Mavs shot 42% overall in this game. They shot 25.7% from three, 66.7% from the free throw line, and they still beat the Nuggets. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was good.
I mean, other than Kyrie being Kyrie, what are your initial takeaways from this game?
I mean, again, the actual performance itself from a statistical standpoint is nothing that just jumps off the paper to you. We just found a way to win. And, yeah, it helps whenever you have someone like Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, who are both capable of making big shots, and they've done so throughout their entire careers. But, like you said, the shooting percentages didn't jump off the page at you. The biggest thing for me is – now, if Coach Kidd plays his cards right, he has a new standard to hold his team to. We just took down the defending NBA champions. That means we are capable of playing at a championship caliber. There's no other way around it. Because, again, we didn't do anything out of the ordinary. In fact, I would say that this performance statistically was on the lower end of the spectrum as far as what we're capable of doing.
Oh, yeah.
So we're capable of winning games against championship caliber teams, playing, I don't want to say suburban basketball, but suburban basketball by our means, you know, by our standards. So, again, it gives Coach Kidd a whole new standard to hold his guys to. And as a coach, you've got to love it.
Well, one thing that I love, and I mean, obviously Luka and Kyrie did their thing. You know, Luka had 37 points, 9 rebounds, only had 3 assists in this game, but that's not really his fault. 2 steals, and he only shot 12 of 27 overall. Kyrie, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals. So your superstars did what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. My biggest takeaway from this game is that Daniel Gafford gives Nikola Jokic a little bit more of an issue than, you know, in the past when Derek Lively wasn't playing and you had to play Dwight Powell.
Well,
because
we knew that was going to be the case whenever we made the addition of Daniel Gafford. I mean, it makes our post corpse that much deeper, that much bigger. Most importantly, and you know, people like Lively, people like Gafford, they're long, they're athletic, and they give people problems. Specifically, I think they can give Jokic problems, which you saw that tonight. So, right. You know, say what you want about skill and say what you want about athleticism, but if you use your length and your athleticism the right way defensively, you can wreak havoc on people who are not as athletically gifted. And as much as I love Nikola Jokic and as good as he is, he's not overly athletic. And so people like Gafford, people like Lively will be able to give him problems down the stretch, which again, just further cements the previous statement. This team is capable now of competing at a championship caliber.
And look, let's be honest, you know, Derek Lively, he has the length and the intangibles to give Jokic problems too, but he doesn't have the strength yet. You know, he doesn't have the muscle that Gafford has. Gafford has the athleticism and the length, and his body is ready because he's been in NBA weight rooms for 5 years now. So that's where the difference comes in. And look, the stats aren't eye-popping for Gafford in this game. 8 points, 6 rebounds, had 1 assist, 1 block, 4 of 7 from the field. But you look at Jokic. Jokic shot 6 of 16 from the field today. That is uncharacteristic for Jokic. Mm-hmm. 16 points on 6 of 16. You know, it's not one of those games where he just didn't try to score any. He tried. The Mavs just did a really good job of bothering him. You know, you're not going to stop him because he still had 16, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and he was a plus 10 on the game. But that's if you can contain him, you give yourself a chance to win the game. And the same thing with Jamal Murray. You know, he led the Nuggets with 23 points in this game, but he only shot 7 of 20. And that was mainly because the Mavs were hounding him as much as they were throughout the game. PJ Washington played really good defense when he had to switch on to Murray. So it gives a different feel for this team now that they have players like that and you have more versatility. You know, you have Luka and Kyrie doing their thing, and I feel like, you know, if they can avoid the play-in tournament and you get into a postseason series against any of these teams that are ahead of them in the standings, I don't know if any of these teams want to see Dallas in a 7-game series. I don't know if you want to be staring across the other side seeing Luka and Kyrie and saying, oh, God, we have to contain them for 7 games and hope that P.J. Washington doesn't shoot 2 of 10 from the field like he did today. And look, P.J. Washington is in an absolute rut right now. He went 1 of 11 in that last game against OKC when Luka didn't play. And then he followed that up going 2 of 10 in this one. So offensively, he's in a rut. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat from the 3-point line. But he's doing other things. He had 11 rebounds and 3 assists in this game, and he ended up being a plus 7 on the night. So, you know, once that shot starts to fall for PJ, I don't know how all these other teams plan to do anything with the Mavs.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking. And by the way, I'm gonna stop rambling here for just a second because we are going to play this clip that I took, you know, as the game was tied at 105 with a few seconds left. Okay, so just mayhem.
Yeah.
It was, it's St. Patrick's Day. You know, people had been doing a little day drinking around Dallas. It was on St. Patrick's Day. It was a 2:30 start time. So, you know, everybody was excited to get to the game early and still have their full night ahead of them after it ended. And, man, it was jam-packed. And it felt like a playoff atmosphere at American Airlines Center. I haven't felt that way in AAC since, you know, back when, you know, the Mavs actually made a deep playoff run. It was crazy in there. And that's hopefully a sign of what's to come because, like I said, you know, you defeat the defending champs. After having some adversity, you let an 11-point lead slip. They took the lead by 3 with, you know, less than a minute left, and you still find a way to get over the finish line. So, DJ, I have a couple other things I want to ask you, but before we do that, I do want to tell everybody about Prize Picks, because right now, if you use our promo code STEPBACK, you can get up to $100 matched on your first deposit with Prize Picks. And, you know, it's tournament time. It's getting close to NBA playoff time. You know, that's a little bit further down the line, but you can go make your prop picks on the NCAA tournament. You know, the brackets just came out today, and me and you are going to be a part of a couple different groups ourselves.
Oh yeah.
go try and make you a little extra money with Prize Picks. If you love daily fantasy sports, Prize Picks is the number one daily fantasy sports app. So be sure to go download the Prize Picks app and, again, use our promo code STEPBACK for up to $100 matched on your first deposit. Okay, so DJ, huge, gigantic, monumental win for the Mavs today because you look at their schedule going down the pipe here. Now they play the San Antonio Spurs on Tuesday. The Spurs have no reason to win. I mean, the Wimby stuff has been great. You know, they play him enough just to get him some experience. But the Spurs do not want to win that game.
No. No, they're playing for a lottery pick now. I mean.
Correct.
And honestly, you know, I know this is a Mavs podcast, but if I'm the Spurs, I'm looking to get rid of a lot of people because the way that they've played with Wembanyama pisses me off. It would piss me off as a coach, but, you know, we could go all day about that.
Now, and I mean, look, they might just do that too, because after getting a feel for what Wembanyama actually is now, you know, now you go into this offseason and you have several picks you can use in trades and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll see how it goes with the Spurs, but that should be a win on Tuesday. And then Thursday, you play the Utah Jazz. And then that following Monday, you play the Utah Jazz again after several days of rest. Another team that it would they're not tanking as hard as the Spurs, but it would do them good if they lost those games because they're not making the play-in tournament. They're too far out of the range to do that at this point in the season. So that's 3 consecutive games coming up that the Mavs should win and should win handily, you know, if they're healthy. And then after that, you have back-to-back games against the Sacramento Kings, which will be huge because the Mavs are only like a – let me pull up the actual standings here because I know Phoenix lost, so that puts us in the 7th spot. Okay, so we jumped from 8 to 7 ahead of the Suns, and we are tied with the Sacramento Kings because they're 38-28 – and we are 39-29, but they're still ahead of us because we have one more loss than them. So percentage points does that. But we control our own destiny now because we hold the tiebreaker with the Suns, And if we win those two games against the Kings, you control the tiebreaker there too. So these next four games are crucial. And then depending on what the Kings do between now and then, maybe those Kings-Mavs games won't be as crucial as they would be if they were being played today. But regardless, that's going to be two huge games. And I'm really looking, you know, looking forward to how they approach those games. Because if you take care of business in that second Jazz game, which is on March 25th, you have to fly to Sacramento and play Sacramento on the second night of a back-to-back. But Sacramento is also going to be on the second night of a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. It's interesting. And once you get past those two Sacramento games, you know, the rest of the schedule for the Mavs, you know, you play the Rockets, you play Golden State, who's a shell of themselves. You play Atlanta, you play Golden State again, Houston again, Charlotte, at Miami, versus Detroit for the second to last game of the season. And then you play the Oklahoma City Thunder for the last game of the season. And they might not even be playing their main guys for that one. They might have stuff locked up at the top of the West. So it's looking pretty favorable.
The thing that concerns me, and, you know, I probably shouldn't be concerned about this, but the thing that concerns me is us overlooking the games that stand between now and those two Kings games. We cannot overlook Wembanyama. We cannot overlook the Jazz. These are pros. These are the best basketball players in the world. Anyone can beat anyone on any given night. We have to come in focused and locked in each and every game because each and every game is crucial. So the most important game, in my opinion, is the next one, and it'll always be the next one. So
I think, and, you know, I think those Jazz games worry me more than the Spurs do because the last time they played the Spurs before the All-Star break happened, the Spurs jumped out to like a – I think it was like a 13 or 14-point lead early, and the Mavs were just like, whoa, we didn't expect that. And they had to claw back, and they did end up winning. They ended up blowing them out anyway. But at the very beginning, it was just like, oh, well, we didn't come with the correct energy and effort in that one. So I think they'll remember that a little bit in this next game against the Spurs. Like, hey, we didn't come out and do what we were supposed to do the last time, made it a little bit more stressful for ourselves. Let's handle business from the jump this time. And then maybe we don't have to play our guys down the stretch like we did in that last one. Now, the Jazz games, they kind of concern me because, you know, it seems like Jordan Clarkson always has really good games against the Mavs. I don't think Kelly Olynyk's not on the Jazz anymore, is he? So, you know, maybe
I think so.
I think he got traded, so we don't have to worry about Kelly Olynyk doing anything against the Mavs. But, you know, Lauri Markkanen, we'll see if he's playing in those games. Like I said, I mean, the Jazz are in a situation now to where they'd probably benefit more by losing games. Now, I don't think they're just gonna, you know, lose on purpose, but there is such thing as an organic tanking where you don't play your guys certain games. So,
and you just get beat. I don't know. I could see it done both ways. I mean, I also know that people get their jollies out of ruining other people's seasons. So take from that what you will.
Yeah. I just feel better about it just because of the depth the Mavs have now, you know, especially since Dante Exum came back from his injury. You know, he was out for a long time with a knee issue. And he just brings a level of stability to the Mavs' second unit when he's out there. And he's actually been starting since Josh Green is out now with a I think he sprained his ankle pretty bad. So he's going to be out for a while. Hold on just a second. Let me pull this up.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, J.J. breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
But yeah, Dante Exum, he had a couple of moments in the first half of this one where the Nuggets literally could not stop him from driving to the basket. You know, he decided he was going to put his head down and make his way to the rim, and they couldn't do anything about it. And he ended up with 8 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist in 18 minutes. He shot 4 of 8 overall. And I just thought he did a fantastic job of putting pressure and keeping the Mavs attached early when, you know, the Nuggets tried to go on their run. So, I don't know, man. I'm really just thrilled with how this one ended. It could have gone to OT, but when you have a guy like Kyrie who can come out there and just snatch your soul from your body at the buzzer, it just makes things a whole lot easier.
He's been doing that his whole career. Wherever he's gone, he has done that his whole career. He gets his jollies out of that, I think.
It's crazy. You know, Gafford, his ability to rebound, we've already talked about that. We've criticized, and, you know, we tip our hat to Kidd too when he does something really well. And I thought he did a good job taking his timeouts in this game. Yep. You know, anytime the Nuggets started to go on a pretty good run, he took very timely timeouts, and he ran great plays after timeouts. That was the biggest thing. So you have to tip your hat to him there. Now, one thing I didn't like is how Maxi Kleba ended up playing down the stretch of this game instead of Derrick Jones Jr. Because even though Derrick Jones Jr. only shot 4 of 11 overall, he had double the rebounds that Maxi Kleba had in nearly the same amount of minutes. Derrick Jones played 24 minutes, Maxi Kleba 21. He had Derrick Jones had 8 rebounds, Kleba had 4. And Jones Jr. was a plus 20 for 9 points in 24 minutes, and Kleba was a negative 8 in 21 minutes. So yeah. If I had to – and, I mean, you could just feel it by watching it too. Like, I didn't know these numbers as I was watching, and I was just like, man, why is Maxi in here closing this game? So that I feel like that was part of the reason why the Mavs, you know, were even in that situation late and had to even have those heroics. But – you know, it felt good to gut one out like this because Luka, he missed some free throws there at the end. He missed a couple of shots consecutively. It kind of felt like he was almost choking a little bit, to be honest. And, you know, then he comes back and ties it at 105, and then Kyrie gets that last shot, and it's just, you know, good times for Mavs fans. And you know what, DJ, let's show the video one more time for the people at home before we get out of here. Okay, so
how did you didn't throw your phone like sky high?
Yeah, I had to grab. Yeah. I had to hold on to it very, very tightly, and I felt like I was high for about the next hour and a half or so after that. Dude. Like my wife and I, we got back to my truck, and I was just sitting there like,
Yep. That adrenaline, dude. And what follows it is just a freaking crash. Like, you're going to sleep like a baby tonight.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to sleep a lot better with that ending than if it had ended the opposite way. So, and 100%. We've been on our fair share of that side too. You know, a few weeks ago when Max Strus hit that 60-footer to give the Cavs the win. So this is the basketball gods making up for it.
Yeah, no, I hope we don't have a hangover next game. I mean, that's another thing that really concerns me, but you know, I need to stop all this negative talk. We're going undefeated rest of the season. No more losses.
Exactly. And shout out to the people of Slovenia who, you know, they to watch their guy Luka, they always have to stay up at absurd hours, you know, with the normal start time of these games. But at these 2:30 start times, you know, the really early start times, it's like prime time viewing for them over there. So yeah. Shout out to the Slovenians and getting to watch your guy, you know, hit a clutch three and everything and it get to go to bed by a decent hour. So
shout out to the bars in Slovenia for being able to just operate under normal hours today.
Yeah. Well, DJ, any more thoughts on this game before we head out of here?
No, man. I mean, I would say it's the biggest win of the season. I would say that it opens a lot of eyes as to what we are actually capable of as a team. It's very encouraging that we didn't have to have just an out of this world performance from anybody for us to make this possible. We won it through defensive ability, most specifically from Gafford. And the thing about defense is it can be consistent on a nightly basis as long as the effort is consistent on a nightly basis.
It can be contagious too.
Yes. And if we can just continue down this towards this trend, I think it spells a lot of good things for the future for us. So
if you had told me going into this day that the Nuggets would shoot 43% from three and the Mavs would shoot 25.7% from three, miss 7 free throws, only shoot 42% overall, and the Mavs would still only give up 105 points to the Nuggets and win the game, I would have been like, well, that sounds like a dream to me.
Yeah. Sounds like a realistic scenario.
Wouldn't have expected that. So just crazy, crazy stuff. And look, with the way the Mavs schedule is down the stretch, if they take care of business against these teams that they should beat, you know, there's still a shot that they can get to that 50 win mark. And if they do that, if they climb out of this play-in tournament range, I think, you know, Luka has a very good shot of winning his first league MVP award. And
he freaking deserves it.
Was that?
He deserves it. I mean, he already deserves it, even considering, you know, the whole thing could fall apart right now. And just given what he's averaged as an individual player, he deserves it. But
I agree. Nikola Jokic agrees with that too, because they asked him, I think it was either before or during the game, about the MVP stuff. And he said, yeah, Luka's the MVP. Yeah. This season. So that would be great. Now, obviously, that's not the real award that Luka is gunning for. But, you know, as far as like a historical context, winning a league MVP is a big deal. So, you know, we'll see. Luka is averaging numbers that have never been averaged together by a player ever in NBA history. So if you can't if you can't win MVP doing that, I'm not sure what you have to do to win MVP. And I don't.
It's a lot of it is a popularity contest. Like, we've seen this trend in the league in years past. For instance, I want to say it was like 2006, whenever Steve Nash won the MVP over Kobe Bryant, who obviously deserved it that year. Like, there was no question. And it's unfortunately a popularity contest. And unfortunately, if you're not a Mavs fan, a lot of people don't like Luka. For whatever reason.
Yeah. So well, I think the numbers themselves are objective. Like, I don't think you can – I mean, if you don't like him, you don't like him. That's fine. But if you take feelings out of it and you just look at what the guy is producing, I mean, it's a no-brainer to me.
And absolutely. And I'm going to tell you what, Luka has a similar thing going on for him that Kobe Bryant had going on. Whenever Kobe was playing, Kobe had so many people that hated him, but that as soon as he retired, he's like a god. All right. He was like a god upon retirement. And that's exactly what's going to happen with Luka too. I just wish that people would appreciate him now, because what we're seeing has never been done before.
And I feel like, you know, a part of me, like I would love for Luka to win MVP. I think he deserves it with his play. But, you know, there's a small part of me that thinks if he doesn't win MVP and, you know, he ends up going into the postseason with that kind of chip on his shoulder, it's like, oh, well, you know, I averaged all this, did all this, and still didn't win MVP. Well, fine. Let me go out there and try to win a finals MVP.
Yeah. And that's the one that really matters. Let's be honest. That's the one we all want. So,
exactly.
And a motivated Luka would be absolutely terrifying in the playoffs.
Well, it was a fun day. It was great. You know, as soon at the beginning of the game, I forgot if I told you this or not, but, you know, when you see Patrick Mahomes walk by and go sit down on the front row, and then you see Dirk not too long behind him and go and both of those dudes are sitting on the front row, you figure the vibes are pretty good for a win. So, Shout out to Patrick Mahomes and Dirk.
Were they sitting by each other?
They weren't by each other, but they were pretty close. You know, they were maybe 4 or 5 seats away from each other. But it was pretty cool. Patrick was just walking in front, and I was just like, "That looks like Patrick. That is Patrick Mahomes."
That's too funny. But
pretty cool stuff. But guys, look, we appreciate y'all coming in and listening to us every single week. We appreciate all the follows, all the subscribes, all the likes, all the comments on the YouTube videos. Continue to do that. Subscribe on all your favorite platforms. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. As always, leave your comments as well, because we like to hear from you guys too. So appreciate it, y'all. Y'all have a great rest of your Sunday and have a great week coming up. We'll see you next
time. Thanks, guys.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.